All right. Good to see you this morning. Thank you for coming. I enjoyed the music so far. What a wonderful song and truth it is to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would please keep your Bibles open there in the book of Genesis chapter 39. Last Sunday, we talked about asking God to rekindle the flame for faithfulness. And faithfulness is an important quality in a Christian's life. In fact, we looked at what was in the scripture at the return of Jesus Christ. And one thing I asked you, how many of you believe he's coming soon? And probably just about every hand was raised believing he's come back in any moment. We saw characteristics of the last days, and indeed we are living in the last days, the days that precede the coming of Christ. And there are two things that we as believers were admonished to do. We were admonished to watch and also to be ready. In fact, Matthew 24:44 says, "Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." And so we ought to be ready. And how do we make ourselves ready? We looked at last week by being faithful. Faithfulness is what God is looking for. In fact, he said in Matthew 24:45, he said, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant?" He goes on to say, "Whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household." The word ruler there refers to a manager, an overseer. And basically, it's talking about stewardship. So this morning, I'd like to talk about stewardship, the great doctrine, the Bible teaching of being stewards of God's property. And so typically, First Baptist Church, we focus a whole month on stewardship, the month of February. As I was thinking about this, I looked back on my calendar. It's been almost 5 years since I spoke on stewardship. Back in 2017, we had the whole month set aside on stewardship. So it's an important doctrine. We need to understand that. So today, we're going to look at it again. To many of you, it might be a refresher, a reminder. Some of you might be new teaching. But there's no greater doctrine in the Bible concerning our lives as Christians that we are stewards of God's property. So here in the book of Matthew, first of all, I'll look at three things and all in your notes. Hope you take out your notes. First of all, I'm going to look at what is a steward. Then we'll look at what is stewardship. Then we'll look at what is the responsibility of a steward. So let's begin, number one, what is a steward? In Genesis 39, we read that together. There's a story there about two men. One was Joseph and one was Potiphar. If you remember the story, Joseph was hated by his brothers. They despised him. They sought to kill him. But one of his brothers said, "Why kill him when we can make some money off of him?" So they sold him to the Ishmaelites who were traveling by in the land, headed down to Egypt. So they sold their brother to slavery. And the Ishmaelites went down to Egypt, and the Ishmaelites sold Joseph to Potiphar. Potiphar is the captain of the Egyptian army. And so Potiphar purchased him. So look at three things about Potiphar that is true. We're going to see an application today. First of all, Potiphar was the purchaser or the owner of Joseph. It said there in verse 1 at Genesis 39, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him." So now he's owned and paid for, bought by Potiphar. So Potiphar, the purchaser, the owner, but also because of that, letter B, he was the master. Potiphar was the master, the one in authority. That is mentioned twice. The word master is in verse 2 and also verse 3. So Potiphar was the purchaser, the owner. He was the master, the one in authority. The third thing about Potiphar, that he was the owner of the house. If you remember in the story we read, God's blessing, favor is upon Joseph. And Potiphar noticed that. So Potiphar made him the overseer, the manager, the steward of all his property. So three things about Potiphar. He's the purchaser, the owner. He's the master, the one in authority, and the owner of the house. Now look at three things about Joseph. Three things about Joseph. I'm going somewhere with this. Don't let me lose you now. Three things about Joseph. First of all, Joseph was Potiphar's possession and property. Joseph was Potiphar's possession and property. He was bought by Potiphar and became a possession, the property of this man called Potiphar. Next, letter B, Joseph was Potiphar's servant, the one under authority. Though Potiphar was the master, the one in authority, now Joseph was the servant, the one under authority. The third thing about Joseph, he was the manager of Potiphar's house. In fact, the word is steward. He became the steward of Potiphar's house. So let me go over those again. This is an Old Testament example what it means to be a steward. Potiphar, the purchaser, the owner, the master, the one in authority, and the owner of the house. He purchased Joseph. Joseph was Potiphar's possession and property. Joseph was Potiphar's servant, the one under authority. And also Joseph was the manager of Potiphar's house. So the owner placed Joseph in the authority, as far as in the position of authority of the steward, over all his possessions. Now, if you would please let go of Genesis, go now to the New Testament in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to see the same thing that applied to Potiphar and Joseph applies to Jesus Christ and the believer today. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. Page 1608 if you're using a church Bible. I hope that you will use your Bible this morning, or use one of the ones there in front of you in the chair. Use your Bible. We'll turn to several scriptures concerning what it means to be a steward. What is a steward? And we're going to find out today, every child of God is a steward for God. So we saw from the example of Potiphar and Joseph. Now look at this New Testament truth. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19, 20, a familiar verse, but look what a great truth it has concerning stewardship. Verse 19, Paul said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So let's take this situation of Potiphar and Joseph and now apply it to Jesus Christ and the believer. First of all, Jesus Christ, letter A, Christ is the purchaser and the owner. Jesus Christ is the purchaser and owner. He's the one who purchased us by his own blood. Letter B, Jesus Christ is the master, the one in authority. Because he purchased us, he owns us. He is now, because of the sake of that position, he is our master and the one in authority. If you notice, this much like Potiphar was in the life of Joseph. Letter C, Jesus Christ is the owner and of the believer and all his possessions. Jesus Christ is the owner of the believer and all his possessions. So like Potiphar, Jesus Christ is the purchaser and the owner. Jesus Christ is the master, the one in authority. And Christ is the owner of the believer and all our possessions. Number two, now look at the child of God. This is in the same situation Joseph was with Potiphar. The child of God, number one, is God's possession and property. In fact, I mentioned there twice, God's possession and property. In verse 19, it says, ye are not your own. You belong to God. You've been purchased with a price. As a believer, you're God's possession and property. In fact, back up, you would please, now to chapter 4, 1 Corinthians. Chapter 4, 1 Corinthians. Like Joseph was to Potiphar, we are a purchased possession owned by God. The second thing, look in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, please. Again, speaking to Christians. It says, verse 1, it says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers, the servants of Christ, and, what's it say, stewards of the mysteries of God, verse 2, moreover, so quarreling stewards, that a man be found faithful. So as a child of God, though God is the purchaser, the owner, Christ is the master, the one in authority, he's the owner of the believer and all our possessions. Now the believer is God's possession and property. Number, letter B, we're God's servant. We're under his authority. Christ is the master, the one in authority. Letter B, the believer is God's servant, one under authority. Let a man so count of as minister, the servants of Christ. And letter C, the believer is the manager of God's possessions. The believer is the manager of God's possessions. Now, I'm laying the groundwork, the foundation, what it means to be a steward and also stewardship. Let me go over those again so you don't miss them. Jesus Christ is the purchaser, the owner. Jesus Christ is the master, the one in authority. Jesus Christ is the owner of the believer and all our possessions. The child of God, those who've trusted Christ as Savior, we are God's possession and property. We're God's servant, the one under authority, and we're manager of God's possessions. We're stewards of God's possessions. That's what a steward is. In other words, Christian, because you've been purchased, bought, and paid for by Jesus Christ. He purchased you by his own blood on the cross. And therefore, you are a purchased possession. You're God's property. And he's our master. He's the one in authority. We are his servants and one under authority. That is what it means to be a steward. Number two now. What is stewardship? What is stewardship? Hang in there with me. I'm going somewhere, please. Help you understand what stewardship is. Go with me now to the Old Testament. In the book of 1 Chronicles, please. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. What is a steward? A steward is a manager, an overseer of another person's property. What is stewardship? Let's understand what this is. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, page 670 in your Bibles, please. Page 670. Look what it says in verse 10. And let me give his background here. David was a man after God's own heart. When David became king, he sought to build a temple for God to come dwell among his people. But because he was a man of war, God would not let him do that. So we know Solomon's one who built the temple. But David gathered all the materials, the finances, the materials to build the temple. In chapter 29 here of 1 Chronicles, we see David gathering together materials. And here he's praying to God once the materials are gathered by his people. And we're going to notice, first of all, in verse 11, let's read verses 10 through 15, then we'll back up, please. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10, please. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, that thou mayest reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, in thy hand to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy name. Verse 14, Who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, and as were our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Here we have some principles of stewardship. First of all, number one, notice here, in according to the scripture, everything I have belongs to God. Everything I have belongs to God. It says there in verse 11, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. But notice here, for all that is in heaven and earth is what? Thine. In other words, because God is the creator, everything in heaven and earth belongs to him. That means everything, by the way, you live on the earth, do you not? And so what you have also belongs to him. Everything I have belongs to God. Number two, the second thing, everything I have comes from God. Everything I have comes from God. Again, these are foundational principles for stewardship. As a child of God, not only do I belong to God, everything I have belongs to God. Everything I have comes from God. In verse 12 there, it says, Both riches and honor come of thee. God's the source of all our possessions. Interesting. Remember Job? Job was a very wealthy man. And God allowed Satan to take away all his possessions. After he lost his possession and his own family, listen to what Job said. Job 1:21. And said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job acknowledged everything he had, God gave him. God was the source of all his possessions. So number one, everything I have belongs to God. Number two, everything I have comes from God. And number three, my strength and abilities were given to me by God. My strength and my abilities were given to me by God. So often, many Christians say, Pastor, I know everything comes from God, but everything I have, I've earned. I've worked for. It's my talents a gift that brought them. Therefore, they're mine. We need to understand even the strength and abilities to get them, God gave you. Even the talents you have to do the job you have, God gave you. Basically, it says in verse 12 there, 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, he said, in thine hand is to make great and to give strength to all. When he said, in thy hand to make great, any promotion or advancement I received comes from God. You got a raise, you got an advancement of the job, God brought that about. He's the one who did that. In other words, we're acknowledging what part God has in our lives. He owns us. We're his property. Everything I have belongs to him. Everything I have came from him. Even my strength, intelligence, and ability, God gave me. My strength and abilities come from God. That's understanding stewardship. Now look at the practice of stewardship. The practice of stewardship. First of all, look up here, please. We're laying a foundation here. First of all, just like Joseph was to Potiphar, the child of God is to Christ. Jesus Christ is the purchaser, the owner. He's the master, the one in authority. He's the one who owns us and everything we have. As a child of God, I am, everything I have comes from God. Everything I have belongs to God. Even my strength and ability that I have came from God. And now, how do we put that in practice? I'm glad you asked. Three ways. I hope you write them down. In fact, they're right there on your sheet. You can fill them in. The way we put these great truths of stewardship into practice, first of all, I am to honor God with my time. With my time. In 1 Chronicles 29, look at the very last verse, verse 15. One way we can honor God, one way we can acknowledge the stewardship of we have as believers, is seek to honor God with the time we are given here on the earth. In 1 Chronicles 29, the latter part in verse 15, David said, our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there's none abiding. The word shadow means fleeting, passing by soon, momentarily. You know, as a young person, I did not think about life much as far as how long I'd be here. But as you get older, I realize most of my life is now behind me. Then the idea of one day ending is so much more on my mind. We need to realize our life, whether you're 10, 50, or close to 100, is but a shadow. And no one's going to abide forever. And so we need to realize our time is given to us by God. If you would please now go to Let Go Chronicles. Go now to Psalm 39, please. Psalm 39. To focus on this way we can honor God as stewards with our time. Page 850, Psalm 39. Some of us will live longer than others. We're going to see that from Scripture. But whatever time we have as stewards, we should seek to use it to honor God, to live for Christ, to honor him with our time. Our days on earth are as a shadow. In Psalm 39, look in verse 4, please. Psalm 39, verse 4. David said, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my what? Again, I shared it a few moments ago. As we get older, the end is so much more on our minds because it's coming soon. And David said, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure, the length of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. You know, when you're a teenager in your early 20s, you don't focus on how frail you are, how strong you are. But as you get older, you realize how weak and frail I am, and my body's wearing out. And David said, Lord, make me know mine end. Make me know the length, the measure of my days, how frail I am. Verse 5, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. What is a handbreadth? It's a measure. It's a unit of measure. The handbreadth, look over here, please, is the distance from your thumb to your finger. Back in the Bible day, when they're going to measure something, they measure it like this. Go like this and like this, like that. In other words, how long are you going to be on earth? There it is. that long. That's saying my days are as a handbreadth. And it says, and my age is nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best is altogether vanity. Compared to God, who is eternal, what is our days on earth? Nothing. It is but a shadow. And how long is it? There it is, my friends. From there to there. That's what the Bible says. Therefore, a wise man realizes that, and I need to make sure my time is used for the Lord. James, many of you know this verse, James 4:14. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then what? Vanishes away. The word vapor refers to like steam comes off a pot. You ladies, when you cook something, you boil water and you see vapor comes up, just here and there and gone. And for that's our life. On earth, our life is but a vapor. And you say, well, here, 60, 70, 80 years, what is that compared to eternity? It's nothing. It's like one grain of sand compared to the beach. That's our life. Interesting, Job 14 said this. Talking about man, seeing his days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Look at me, please. God's determined exactly how long you're going to live. We don't know that. He does. And thou hast appointed the bounds. He's appointed the bounds, and you'll never go live any longer than that. Whatever that time is, we don't know. But while you're here, my friend, use your time to serve the Lord, because it may be your last. You know what? I always want to preach a message on who's next. Because every year, someone in our church goes home to be with the Lord. That's part of life. Who's next? In other words, this time next year, one of you are going to be gone, chances are. Might be me. Might be you. So what are you doing with your time? If you knew that next Sunday was your last day, would something change? Would you do something different? My friend, one way to acknowledge that you are God's property, that everything you have comes from him, everything belongs to him, you're just a manager over his property, then use your time wisely. Look in Psalms 90, please. Psalms 90. Psalms 90, verse 12. Again, talk about time. There's no greater way to acknowledge you're a steward over your life that God's given to you is use your time for him. Psalm 90, verse 12, David said, so teach us to number our days that we may be able to apply our hearts to wisdom. Teach us number of days. Basically, Lord, help me to realize how short life is. That my days on earth have been numbered, determined, and I will not go any longer than what God's appointed me to. I don't know when it is, but my job is to make sure that while I know I'm here, use it for the Lord. Use my time for the Lord. In Ephesians 5, do not turn there. Maybe you know this. Ephesians 5:15. It says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time for the days of evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In other words, a wise Christian would do this. You will realize your life on earth is short. You're here just a short time. You may be young, may be old, but my friend, it's going to be gone soon. So the wise Christians say, well, since I belong to God, everything I have come from God, everything I have belongs to him, I'm going to use my time to honor him with what I have. That's what wise. It says, seeing that you walk circumspectly means accurately, with great care, redeem the time. Take advantage of the opportunity you have to serve the Lord. Number two, the second way to honor God as a steward is not only by your time, but my talents. My talents. A verse we will not turn to, I believe, will be on the screen. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. It says, if any man minister, if any man serve, let him do as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified. Interesting how many of you have great talents. We have what we call spiritual gifts, but also physical talents. I enjoy people singing. Didn't you enjoy the group today? You know, if I got up there and sing, you'd say he shouldn't be up there. I don't have that talent, but many people do. Whatever talent you have, my friend, use it for God. He said, Pastor, I plan to. My friend, you may not have it tomorrow. Use it today. Whatever talent you have, it said the ability you have, God gave to you. You ought to use it for him. The way you can honor God as a steward is honor him with your time, but also with your time. Many of you are planning to do something for God in the future. You may not have a future, so do it today. Many of you have talents. You can do great things. Musicians, vocally, other ways. Use it for the Lord. Honor him with your time, with your talents. And number three, my treasures. My treasure. Proverbs 3:9. I'll just read the verse. Many of you know that. Proverbs 3:9. Solomon says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. As a Christian, we're told to honor God with our substance. That means your material possessions. And with the first fruits, all the increase. Basically, he says two ways of doing that. By the way, remember, your substance, who owns it? Not you. God does. So many said, that's mine. No, it's not. It's his. He owns that. And therefore, you're told to honor him with his possessions. You're just a manager, overseer of his possessions. And so honor the Lord with thy substance. That means your finances. That means your material substance. All that God's blessed you with. So often we use it for our own pleasure. Use it for our own glory and not his. One day you'll stand before the Lord and give an account what you did with your stewardship. So honor the Lord with your substance. And it goes on to say, with the first fruits of all thine increase. What is the first fruits? Back in the Bible days, a person that was a farmer and he planted a crop. To the Jew, when the harvest came in, the first tenth of the crop went to God. Before he took any for himself, he gave the tenth to the Lord, the tithe. One way we can honor God as a steward over his property, not only with the substance, material possessions, but with our finances. We honor God by giving God the tithe, the first fruits increase. Then when you get your paycheck, when you get that your finances, before you do anything for yourself, set apart the first fruits for the Lord. That's the way you honor him. So we honor, look here, please. I laid a foundation. God is the purchaser, the owner. He's the master, the one in authority. He owns everything we have. As a Christian, I'm the purchased possession. I'm the one who's been bought and paid for. I'm the one, I'm the servant under authority. And everything I have, I'm a steward over another man's possessions, God's. The Bible says everything I have belongs to God. Everything I have came from God. Even my strength, ability to obtain it, God gave to me. Therefore, Christian, honor God as a steward. How do you do that? Honor him with your time, with your talent, and with your treasure. So many Christians take all three of those and use it on themselves without any thought for God. How wrong that is. Next, we saw what is a steward. We saw what is stewardship. Number three, and lastly, what is the responsibility of a steward? What is the responsibility of a steward? This can be summed up in four words. First of all, acknowledge. Acknowledge. Letter A, acknowledge that all our possessions come from God. My responsibility as a steward of God's possession, realize they all came from him. They're all his, and what I have, God entrusted to me. Do not turn there. We saw in 1 Chronicles 29 what David said, for all that is in heaven and earth is thine. Deuteronomy 10:14, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, and the earth also, and with all that therein is. Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. In other words, a Christian, you are God's property by two ways, by creation and by redemption. He created you, therefore he owns you. That's true of even the unbeliever, though they don't acknowledge it. So you're his by creation, but also redemption. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and spirit, which are what? Which are his. So we acknowledge that all our possessions come from God and belong to him. Letter B, recognize. Recognize that God is the source of our strength and achievements. Recognize that God is the source and strength of our achievements. Listen to this, please. In Deuteronomy speaking to his people, the Jews. Listen to what he said, Deuteronomy 8:11. God said, and beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Verse 12. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast multiplied, then thy heart is lifted up, and thou say in my heart, my power and my might got me this. Verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. It is he that giveth thee strength and power. So often, again, I said before, Christians will look what they got and say, look what I've done. I built this house. I earned the money for this car. All my possessions I earned with the time I have. And that may be true. But you realize, who gave you the ability to do that? God did. Let's recognize God and what part he has, what he's done for us. Don't take ownership of anything. It all belongs to him. So first of all, acknowledge that all our possessions come and belong to God. Number two, letter B, recognize that God's the source of our strength and achievement. Letter C, understand. First of all, acknowledge, recognize, letter C, understand that we are stewards of God's property and are accountable to him. We are stewards of God's property and are accountable to him. Luke 16 is another parable about a master and a servant. And the master called forth the servant, and it says in Luke 16, verse 2, give an account of thy stewardship. Look where, please. Don't miss this. Christian, there's a time that's called the judgment seat of Christ. And one day, it says, you will stand before Jesus Christ. You know what he's going to say to you? Steward, give an account of thy stewardship. What did you do with your time? What did you do with your talent? What did you do with your treasure? Did you seek to please yourself, or did you seek to honor me? So many Christians, all they focus on themselves were the three things. And one day you stand before God, who owns all things, owns you, and he'll say to you, give an account of thy stewardship. Does that sound exciting to you? Or does it scare you? Because so often we don't honor God. We honor ourselves. Now, so many Christians stop right there. Let me go over that again. First of all, they acknowledge all they have belongs to God. Then they recognize that he's the source of their strength. Then they understand they're stewards of God's property. They stop right there. Listen to me, please. Don't stop there. Number four is now the word practice. Practice. Allow these biblical truths to impact our lives by not just being hearing of the word, but doers. You can deal with those first three and never receive anything from God. So many of you have done that. You acknowledge, you admit, you realize, but have you put it in practice? Go now to James chapter 22, please. James 1:22. James 1:22. We'll close with this morning. This verse and one more. James, near the back of your Bible. Must be time to quit, is it? James 1:22, please. James 1:22. Many of you are familiar with this passage, but what a application to the things we acknowledge and realize and understand about stewards. We need to put it in practice. James 1:22, he says, but, page 1699, but be ye doers of the word and not what? Hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For when he be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, and beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his what? In his acknowledging? No. In his realizing? No. In his understanding? No. In his what? Deed, his doing. So my friend, look up here. You can acknowledge God owns everything. Everything you have come from God. You can realize All your strength and abilities came from him. You can understand that you're stewards. But unless you put that part of your life, you have no blessings from God. So this man should be blessed, not when he understands, but he does. So what are you doing with your time, Christian? What are you doing with your talent, Christian? What are you doing with your treasure? It's the practice of these truths that brings God's blessing. So I want to encourage you this morning to focus on this great doctrine of stewardship. Everyone of us are re-examine our time. Re-examine the treasures and talents God's given to us and ask ourselves, how much are we using it for the God's honor? Now, one more verse. We'll close. Did you close your Bibles already? 1 Peter, just to your right. 1 Peter chapter 1. This will be our last verse this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1. So, you know what I'm doing this morning? I'm asking God to rekindle the flame for stewardship. To ask God to reignite our passion of being stewards over his property, of our time, talent, and treasure. That God renew that. Some of you used to do that. Some of you got away from it. I pray that he'd reignite that great truth and allow us to put it in practice in our life. Look very pleased. We began with two men. Who were they? Do you remember who they were? Potiphar and Joseph. Potiphar bought Joseph. Joseph was a possession. The Bible says Jesus Christ bought and paid for us. What price did he pay for you? What price did he pay for your salvation? 1 Peter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter 1, verse 18. It says, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed, that means bought or purchased, with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot. Close your Bibles, please. Look up here. Do you realize as a Christian, a child of God, you're the most expensive item ever purchased? God purchased you by the death of his own son. He didn't give his son to purchase this earth. He didn't give his son to purchase material possessions. He gave his son to purchase you. And you are bought and paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross, shed his precious blood, he made a payment for your sin, was buried and rose again. And he offered you eternal life. And if you're saved, you receive that payment he made for you and you trust Christ as Savior. And the Bible says now, he said, what? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are his. So, Christian, I pray that you reexamine your stewardship with God. But if you're here today, what I just spoke about is the greatest teaching in all the Bible, the redemption by the blood of Christ. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, who did he die for? He didn't die for a select few people. He died for the sins of all humanity. He died for the world. He was the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but the sins of the whole world. He died, by the way, they include you. He died for you and paid for your sin. He was buried and rose again. You know what he does? Now the Father offers you eternal life, forgiveness, and a home in heaven at the expense of his son. He's not asking you to change. He's not asking you to serve. He's not asking you to give. He's asking you to receive. To as many as received him, to them gave you the power to become the sons of God. So salvation is not gained by doing, but by receiving, by trusting. And when you trust Christ as Savior, God forgives you, gives you eternal life, and you become his own child, and you belong to him. He's the master, the one in authority. You're the servant under authority. So who's the authority in your life, Christian? Is it you? Are you the one calling the shots? Are you the one determining what you do with your time, your talent and treasure? Or do you allow God to do that? But if you're here today and you never receive Christ, my friend, God wants to forgive you and give you a home in heaven. And he'll do it when you put your trust in his son to be your savior. Let's bow together, please. As our heads bowed and eyes are closed, this morning I've been speaking to those of you that know Christ and asking God to rekindle the flame, to reignite our passion for stewardship, to acknowledge, to recognize, understand everything we have belongs to God. Everything we have came from God. Even our strength and ability he gave to us. And we are nothing more than just a steward over God's property. And I pray, child of God, you'd understand these, but then you'd put them into practice. Not just to be hearers of the word, but doers also. Because this man should be blessed in his deed. But if you're here today and you never received God's forgiveness, you never received his gift of eternal life, he offers it to you freely. At no expense or cost to you, because the price was paid in full by his son. Jesus Christ paid the price. He finished the work and offers it to you as a gift. Your part is to, by faith, receive it. And you can do that right now. Right where you sit, you can talk to the true living God and put your trust in Christ and thereby receive eternal life. You say, Pastor, that makes sense to me. How do I do that? Why not talk to God and say something like this? Just say, dear God of heaven, I acknowledge, I admit that I'm a sinner. And because I've sinned, I've earned, I deserve your punishment. But God, I believe that Jesus Christ was punished in my place. I believe when he died for me. I believe he was buried and he rose again. And right here tonight, right here this morning, I'm trusting Christ to be my Savior. I'm receiving the payment he made for me, believing when he died for me, and I'm trusting him and him alone as my only hope, my only means for heaven. I'm trusting Christ here today as my Savior. My friend, did that make sense to you? Did you put your trust in Christ as Savior? If you did, I'd like to know that. I want to pray for those who made that decision this morning. So one moment, I'm going to ask you if you did that today to raise your hand. Raise your hand does not save you. I want to pray for you. My prayer for you does not save you. It's Christ that saves you when you trust him. But if you did that today, you understood that, and you trusted Christ as your Savior this morning, and allow me to pray for you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. In one moment, I'm going to simply ask you to raise your hand. Your hand indicates to me that you understood that, and you prayed to receive Christ. So if you did that today, with no one looking around, eyes closed, heads are bowed, would you indicate that simply to raise your hand this morning? You know what all, Pastor, is my hand. I trusted Christ. Would you pray for me? You know what all? I did that this morning. Please pray for me. Father in heaven, we pray that this one raised your hand, that each one here today has already did that. And if that's true, we're all stewards of God's property. Help us to understand, realize, acknowledge that you are the owner of all things. All things we have come from you. And we're nothing more than servants of the Master. And we're told to use our time, talent, and treasure for your honor and glory. May we seek to do that in everything we do. Father, renew our passion. Ignite a new flame for the stewardship that we have of the things you've given to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.